This is the podcast for JNS Spine. Welcome to the March 9, 2012 podcast from Journal of Neurosurgery Spine. I'm Natalie Pinchem. I will be reading synopses of some of the articles published by JNS Spine today. The topics of the articles featured in this podcast are oncology, the thoracic spine, degenerative diseases, and the lumbar spine. The efficacy of minimally invasive discectomy compared with open discectomy. A meta-analysis of prospective randomized controlled trials. A clinical article by Hormozdiar Henry Dazenbrock and colleagues. Minimally invasive spinal procedures are thought to be superior to open conventional operations. At least that's what the advocates of minimally invasive spine surgery tell us. They point to less injury to the paraspinal muscles, decreased postoperative pain, and a faster recovery. However, there has been a growing body of literature refuting those arguments. The authors set out to perform a meta-analysis of all prospective randomized trials looking at patient outcome after minimally invasive lumbar discectomy compared with conventional open discectomy. The authors performed a literature search for prospective randomized trials with at least 1 year follow-up of patients who underwent either open or minimally invasive discectomy. Six trials were identified with 837 patients. The mean operative time was similar between procedures. Incidental durotomies occurred significantly more frequently during minimally invasive discectomies. Total intraoperative complications, incidental durotomies and nerve root injuries, were also significantly more common in patients undergoing minimally invasive discectomy. With long-term follow-up, 1 to 2 years postoperatively, the mean visual analog scale score improved equally in both cohorts. There was no significant difference in relief of leg pain between the two approaches in terms of either short-term or long-term follow-up. Reoperation for recurrent herniation was more common in patients who underwent minimally invasive discectomies, but this difference was not statistically significant. Total complications did not differ significantly between the two operations. In summary, the current evidence suggests that both open and minimally invasive discectomy lead to substantial and equivalent long-term improvement in leg pain. Incidental durotomies occurred significantly more frequently during minimally invasive discectomies, but total complications did not differ between the two techniques. The authors therefore conclude that minimally invasive discectomy is not superior to open discectomy when it comes to short-term or long-term patient outcome. Minimally invasive lateral extracavity corpectomy, cadaveric evaluation model and report of 3 clinical cases. A laboratory investigation by Zachary Smith and co-authors. In a cadaveric and clinical study, Smith and colleagues described the technique of a minimally invasive approach to posterolateral corpectomy in the thoracic and lumbar spine. The authors described their experience with 3 cadavers. In each cadaver, the technique was performed at 2 separate levels. Using a minimally invasive corridor, the authors were able to obtain 72% volumetric resection of the vertebral body. In addition, they describe the application of this procedure in three clinical cases, including a T11 fracture, a T7 plasmacytoma, and a T4 to T5 vertebral body tuberculosis lesion. This minimally invasive lateral extracavity thoracic corpectomy is combined with modern percutaneous instrumentation. This technique has the ability to provide excellent spinal cord decompression and vertebral body resection while applying modern minimally invasive spine techniques. Immunoselected STRO3+ mesenchymal precursor cells and restoration of the extracellular matrix of degenerate intervertebral discs. A laboratory investigation by Peter Ghosh and co-workers. Disc degeneration is a major cause of back pain. This is a significant clinical problem with a tremendous socioeconomic impact. The current study explores the potential for mesenchymal precursor cells to regenerate the intervertebral disc. Mesenchymal precursor cells, or MPCs, are immunoselected using platform antibody technology. This results in a pure population of cells that have the ability to differentiate into tissues of the mesenchymal lineage, in this case, cartilage. They also have anti-inflammatory properties. In this study, three adjacent lumbar intervertebral discs in the ovine model were injected with chondroitinase ABC, an enzyme that disrupts the extracellular matrix and initiates disc degeneration. The remaining lumbar discs were used as normal controls. 3 months later, the L3 to L4 discs of all animals were injected with MPCs suspended in hyaluronic acid. 12 animals received a high dose of MPCs, 4 million cells, and 12 received a low dose, 500,000 cells. The adjacent L4 to L5 degenerate discs remained untreated, while the L5 to L6 discs were injected with hyaluronic acid only. Radiographs and MRI studies were performed before and after treatment, and histological sections were prepared at 3 and then 6 months. Injection of chondroitinase ABC decreased the disc height index of target discs by 45% to 50%, confirming degeneration. Some recovery in disc height index was observed 6 months after treatment for all chondroitinase ABC injected discs. But only the MPC injected discs showed an increase to within baseline control values. This improvement was accompanied by a reduction in MRI-based degeneration scores. The histopathology scores observed at 3 months in the high-dose MPC injected discs and at 6 months in the low-dose discs were significantly different from the scores for the non-injected and hyaluronic acid injected disc scores, but not from the control disc scores. These data suggest that injection of MPCs into degenerate discs supports the reconstitution of the extracellular matrix. Thank you for listening. JNSPG podcast content is now contained in the newly launched American Association of Neurological Surgeons iTunes U site. Sign up in iTunes for our podcasts and additional content, including video content and podcasts from the AANS, all updated continuously. To read all the articles published by the Journal of Neurosurgery this week, or to listen to more podcasts, please visit us at thejns.org. You can also follow the JNS on Twitter.